Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. As expected, the coronavirus and masks are a top subject at the two separate town halls that are being held at the same time on two different networks tonight that President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden are taking part in. On NBC, Trump says he feels good and told moderator Savannah Guthrie he doesn't remember if he took a coronavirus test on the day of the debate.
Possibly I did, possibly I didn't, but you know the doctor is very accurate information.
Trump also says he doesn't take a coronavirus test every day. And on masks, he says people who wear them still get the virus. Over on ABC, Biden told moderator George Stephanopoulos everyone needs to wear a mask and that Trump should have encouraged it.
There should be a national standard instead of leaving this up. Remember what the president said to the governors. Well, they're on their own. That's not my responsibility. The governors can do what they need to do. Not my responsibility. It is a presidential responsibility to lead. And he didn't do that.
Originally, both men were supposed to debate tonight, but that was canceled after Trump refused to participate when organizers changed it to a virtual format because Trump had COVID-19. YouTube is taking steps to restrict the spread of videos that promote the right-wing conspiracy theory QAnon on the popular video platform. The Google-owned company's new policy follows similar steps taken by Facebook and Twitter. Rachel Miro from member station KQED has more.
In a blog post, Google-owned YouTube wrote, "This is an effort, quote, to curb hate and harassment by removing more conspiracy theory content used to justify real-world violence." Santa Clara University law professor Eric Goldman says YouTube is one of a growing number of Silicon Valley firms risking Republican wrath over content moderation actions.
There's no doubt there will be political blowback. My guess is, YouTube's calculus is, they're coming for us anyway. So we don't have a lot more to lose.
Already, the FCC's chairman is warning he plans to clarify Section 230, a legal shield that protects social media platforms from attack over how they choose to moderate content. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Miro.
Spain has become the first European country to surpass 900,000 confirmed coronavirus infections. As Lucia Benavides reports, the hardest-hit Spanish regions have started to implement stricter measures.
Nine municipalities in Madrid are on lockdown for at least one more week. In Catalonia, bars and restaurants will close for 2 weeks starting tomorrow. Spain's health ministry reported nearly 12,000 new cases on Wednesday, a figure higher than at the peak of the pandemic in April. While hospitalizations and deaths are lower than in the spring, they have begun to rise in the last few weeks.
Lucia Benavides reporting. You're listening to NPR News. In Northern California, more than 50,000 utility customers are without power because of another round of extreme wildfire danger. A fall heat wave has officials warning of hot, dry, windy weather that's forecast to continue through tomorrow. Pacific Gas and Electric began cutting off power to thousands of customers Wednesday night to prevent wildfires if winds damage power lines. Phoenix is no stranger to the heat, but on Wednesday, the city broke its own record, marking its 144th day of triple-digit highs this year. As Nicole Gerbus from member station KJZZ reports, that record might yet grow.
Phoenix set its former record in 1989, but the rest of the city's top five triple-digit years happened after 2000. Matei Georgesco of Arizona State University says climate change won't cause super hot days to get much hotter in the coming decade, but Phoenix likely will see more of them.
Phoenix is continuing to get hotter, and what we've seen this year is really perhaps an indication of what is to come.
But Phoenix still has this year to think about. The National Weather Service says Phoenix highs could reach into the high 90s or low 100s through the end of the week. For NPR News, I'm Nicholas Gerbus in Phoenix.
A Texas billionaire has been charged in a $2 billion tax fraud scheme that federal prosecutors say is the biggest case ever against a U.S. citizen. An indictment against him that was unsealed today. The Department of Justice says 79-year-old Robert Brockman hid the money over 20 years in a complicated scheme that involved false returns and secret bank accounts. He's also charged with investor fraud. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.